A delivery person walks into a basement office in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and stops mid-stride. The space hums with conversation, laughter, and visible energy. No cubicles, no private offices, just pairs of people huddled at simple aluminum tables working together at single computers. "I don't know what you do here," the delivery person says, "but whatever it is, I want to work here." This isn't a tech startup riding a funding wave. It's Menlo Innovations, named the most joyful company in America by Inc. magazine. Each year, thousands of visitors from Disney, Nike, and USAA make pilgrimages to witness something most consider impossible, a workplace where people genuinely love coming to work. In a world where 70% of workers report feeling disengaged, Menlo offers something radical, proof that joy isn't just possible, it's profitable. At 13, Rich Sheridan typed two lines of code that made a computer respond, "Hi, Rich." That magical moment sparked a lifelong passion for programming. By high school, he was creating fantasy baseball games and leading teams. The early days felt intoxicating, filled with energy, camaraderie, and the thrill of creation. Yet by mid-career, despite climbing to vice president with stock options worth millions, Sheridan wanted out. Behind the facade of success lay exhaustion, endless nights away from family, impossible to schedule vacations, troubled projects, and constant customer complaints. He'd spend mornings taking long drives to arrive at work as late as possible, then waste half his day playing Freecell with his screen turned away from the door. The part of him that loved his work was dying. The turning point came in 1999, when Sheridan discovered Kent Beck's Extreme Programming in a documentary about design firm IDEO. Both revealed radically different approaches: open workspaces, collaborative programming, direct customer involvement. When he presented these ideas to his team, one engineer warned, "Blood, mayhem, murder. Don't do it, Rich." Yet two volunteers tried it. 3 weeks later, one stopped Sheridan in the parking lot, asking if he'd still be paid since he was having so much fun it didn't feel like work anymore. When the internet bubble burst in 2001, Sheridan found himself unemployed. From those ashes, he and three colleagues founded Menlo Innovations with a singular purpose: bring joy to the world through software. Menlo's 17,000 square foot basement has no walls, offices, or doors, except bathrooms. Lightweight aluminum tables sit close together, with pairs working even closer. Power cables hang from high ceilings. Concrete floors accommodate dogs and babies. Inspired by the MASH television show, everything is mobile. They've bugged out to larger spaces three times, breaking down Saturday, reassembling Sunday, never missing work. Teams rearrange weekly or daily without permission. As CEO, Sheridan sits at a 5-foot aluminum table, identical to everyone else's, right in the middle of the action. At Menlo, every task is performed by pairs at a single computer, rotating weekly to new partners and projects. This creates constant knowledge flow and reveals hidden talents through casual conversation, like discovering a programmer's voice recognition experience that proves valuable for a client. Learning happens continuously as each person teaches their new partner what they learned the previous week. After 40 hours together, people develop genuine relationships and an emotional safety net. Despite appearing inefficient, pairing increases productivity. Stuck people get quickly unstuck, quality improves with four eyes on the screen, and distractions disappear. New hires often feel exhausted after their first days because they're working productively for a full 8 hours, unlike typical offices where programmers average only 4 effective hours daily. Pairing eliminates dangerous towers of knowledge where individuals hoard expertise, allowing Menlo to never deny time off requests. Most conversations happen in the open because Sheridan wants his team to hear client interactions. The space hums with conversation and laughter. While many believe concentration requires library quiet, Menlo cultivates team flow, not personal flow. They ban earbuds, working noisily together and creating a respectful current of useful noise that encourages serendipity. Menlo replaced wasteful meetings with purposeful rituals. Their daily stand-up runs under 13 minutes. A dartboard alarm signals the start, someone grabs a $7 Viking helmet, and each pair describes their work as it passes around the circle. They've eliminated internal email using high-speed voice technology, simply talking. Sheridan calls, "Hey, Emily," across the room. She replies, "Hey, Rich," and they communicate in seconds. For announcements, he calls, "Hey, Menlo," and the office falls silent. At 3 p.m., someone shouts, "Walkies," for a group walk. Their weekly estimation ritual has project teams discuss story cards, with pairs independently estimating tasks in fixed increments, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, or 64 hours. Show and Tell has clients explain the work back to them, demonstrating understanding. The Work Authorization Board, a visual matrix of pairs and days, provides clarity without constant manager check-ins. Sticky dots show status, yellow for in progress, orange for we think we're done, green after QA approval, red for failed QA. Traditional interviews involve mutual deception. Menlo starts with public tours. Candidates who see the collaborative environment, no private desks or computers, and still want in have better cultural fit. Pivotal rejects lone wolf superstars, prioritizing kindergarten skills. Do they play well with others? Do they share? Their extreme interviewing invites 30 to 50 candidates simultaneously in a speed dating format. Candidates experience their culture through paper-based pairing exercises while team members observe. The twist? Make your partner look good, challenging traditional interview mindsets. Through 3 20-minute rotations, candidates tackle tasks like estimating project hours or designing screens. Observers ask, "Would I pair with this person for a week?" Second-round candidates receive a one-day paid contract on actual client projects, evaluated on curiosity and learning ability. Most software fails because creators and users speak different languages. The missing link is anthropology, studying people in their native environment. High-tech anthropology observes users where they actually work. For a wedding website, anthropologists visit churches, bridal shows, and jewelry stores, conducting casual observations and interviews. From these findings, they create personas, composite characters representing different user types. The critical step is forcing clients to choose one primary persona. When a Curious client wanted all personas prioritized for their flow cytometer, Menlo insisted they choose one, Emily, a lab director who wouldn't let her graduate assistant Brad use existing equipment due to high error costs. When Menlo suggested designing for Brad instead, they resisted. After reflection, they realized there were 10 times more Brads than Emilys in the market. By switching to Brad as primary persona, they created software accessible to this larger user base. Within 3 years of launch, Acuri was sold for $205 million. Observational skills prove invaluable. When designing a diesel motor diagnostic tool, they noticed mechanics wore rubber gloves, a crucial detail their client had missed despite 30 years in the industry. Their planned capacitive touchscreen wouldn't work with gloves, so they switched to a resistive screen that responds to pressure. Fear kills joy. Creating safety is essential for innovation. People must feel secure enough to experiment without fear of consequences. Most organizations claim to value failing fast, but quickly crush teams testing their limits. For a make-mistakes-faster culture to thrive, you need fast, frequent, and inexpensive experimentation. "Let's run the experiment" is one of Menlo's most common phrases. Programming pairs experiment with code and willingly discard it if it doesn't work, a practice that challenges powerful sunk cost mentality. When management manufactures artificial fear, whether through raised executive eyebrows at bad news or failure is not an option environments, bad news goes underground but doesn't disappear, sometimes with catastrophic results. To combat scope creep from a product manager who consistently requested more than 40 hours of work, they suggested a visual experiment, folding task cards proportionally to their time estimates in planning sheets with boxes holding exactly 40 hours worth of folded cards. The physical token forced real trade-offs. When requesting just one more thing, he had to decide what to remove. When clients visited daily stand-ups, the team passed them the Viking helmet. Clients embraced it, sharing their own progress and challenges. Their baby experiment began with Tracy bringing baby Maggie to work daily. Rather than being disruptive, Maggie brought delight, with team members competing to hold her. This success led to more babies at Menlo and awards for supporting working parents. Organizational change starts when people challenge invisible walls. Every organization needs a vision, a why that emanates from your heart. Success doesn't lead to happiness. Happiness leads to success. Even deeper, success follows joy. Take time to describe your ideal day 5 years from now with rich detail, reflecting what you want to feel rather than possess. Start exploring workplace joy through simple, free experiments. Try sitting among your team instead of in a private office. Experiment with stand-up meetings using a timer and token, or visit Menlo to see their practices firsthand. Meaningful change is never easy. Choosing joy means embarking on an arduous journey. You'll need others to help when you falter. On October 21, 1879, Thomas Edison lit an incandescent light bulb in his Menlo Park laboratory. Though not the first, Edison pioneered a practical version that could be widely adopted. This legacy continues at Menlo Innovations, a modern invention factory where people do their best work and find meaning. The question isn't whether joy at work is possible. The question is, when will you start building it?